Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Sermon theme for this morning is the Bible, more than just words, based on Hebrews 4:12, which reads as follows. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, the word power probably brings to mind a wide range of mental images to different people. For some, it may be events in nature, in the realm of nature, like earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes or tornadoes, wildfires, floods, and the like. Others might think of man-made power, nuclear power plants, bombs and ships, dams that produce hydroelectric power, jet propulsion, devices utilizing solar energy, or other products of modern technology. Then there is intangible power, great military might, corporate enterprise, political power, and the power of public opinion and the vote. We speak also of the power of hate and love. What would you say is the greatest power on earth? Any ideas? What is the greatest power of all? Is there, in fact, one power that exceeds all others? Well, for us Christians, it should be easy to answer. Surprised no one's jumping up with the answer. Easy. What is greater than all of nature, and what actually, or I can better say, who actually controls it? Where does everything in the material realm and all science originate? And what is the source of all love, faith, wisdom, and intelligence? We need only turn to the first words of the book that we call the Bible. In the beginning, God created. God merely spoke. Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for God, uttered words, and the work of making the heavens and the earth out of nothing began. Just words. He didn't use anything but the spoken word. Immediately, at the beginning of time, the power of God speaking became visible and felt. The power of his words reached a climax when he created beings in his own image, a man and a woman, loving, thinking creatures capable of reproducing in a way that perpetuated the work of creating human beings. All other forms of life on earth were also created to reproduce. As well. At the end of 6 days, just 6 days, and we believe and teach six 24-hour days, contrary to what anyone else wants to say. Bible says 6 days. But by the power of his word, God had created all that exists, including life itself. But as we now know, there was soon trouble in paradise. The image of God, that of being holy, without sin, was lost. When the first couple exercised their free will and disobeyed God, now sin tarnished the work of creation. The wages of sin was death. Our omniscient God, it means all-knowing, knew that this would happen, and already before the foundation of the world was laid, he planned a way for sin to be forgiven. Again, God spoke words. Now he made a promise to the first sinner. A Savior would come. He would crush the head of Satan. He would make possible a return to holiness. Now the power of God's word would become abundantly clear in a most wonderful way. Sin-blackened hearts could be made whiter than snow. The grave would lose its power, and paradise would be restored. One thing we quickly learn as we turn to pages of Scripture, the God of the Bible keeps his word. The same power that created all things now stands behind the written word. Every promise that the Lord God made to his people, Israel, was kept. And now, in these latter days, every word spoken to us, every promise of Scripture has been and is being kept. No atheist or heretic or skeptic or unbeliever has ever been able to prove otherwise. And I don't care what degree they've got behind their name. They have never, never proven that this book is not true. It hasn't been done and never will be, by the way. Every true Christian knows through life's experiences that God is true to his word. We, by faith, can clearly see that God's word is, as Daniel called it, a book of truth. Not only is it infinitely reliable to the point that we can stake our souls on it, but it has power. The power to change hearts and lives and alter our circumstances in life. Our text enlightens us to this point. Notice again the first phrase, if you happen to be looking at it in your Bible. For the word of God is living and active. It is more than just words. It is more than ink on paper. It is God still speaking and working. Earlier in biblical history, God spoke audibly to Adam and Eve and to his chosen leaders, including Noah and Abraham and Moses and David and all the prophets. And little by little, what he said was being written down with God's help. We call this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And after the New Covenant, or New Testament if you prefer, began, with the coming of the Messiah, our Savior Jesus, everything God had to say was recorded in this way. The Apostle Paul assures us in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Bible has the power to accomplish these things. We are empowered to obey, by God's word, to obey God's holy law, an expression of his will, showing how we are to love him and to love all people. And above all, we have the gospel, the good news of our salvation that is so freely offered for the sake of the life, the death, and the resurrection of God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. You and I cannot save our own souls. We do not have the power. Our good works fall short. Only Jesus can save us. It is by his power, by his good work, of victory over sin, death, and the devil, that we have any hope for a never-ending life in glory after this one. Jesus' power and his righteousness come to us by how? You say it. Faith. Okay. See, you knew the answer. Comes to us by faith. And only by faith, by the way. Only by faith. And Scripture says, faith comes by what is heard, and what is heard by the preaching of Christ. Isn't that the main reason that we're here today? To hear the word? To celebrate? What does this say about daydreaming or sleeping during the reading of the lessons or the sermon? Or skipping Bible study or home devotions? Our souls are saved by the power of God's word. This is critical to get in our heads and in our hearts. Critical. Our souls are saved by the power of God's word. We cannot come to know our Heavenly Father or Jesus or hear the voice of the Holy Spirit except by the working of the words of this book in our hearts. What does that say about learning it and reading it? How else can we learn of the grace of God and His love for us? Think about it. You and I would not be saved today. Our sins would not be forgiven. We would have no hope of heaven were it not for the words that we have heard and read from this book. It would not have happened. And as we are told in our text, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It cuts right through the rock-hard wall of sin, right into the deepest places of our hearts, exposing our sinful nature and our guilt, laying bare our inherent rebelling against God, our original sin. The law of God, of course, has condemned our sinful ways, shown us our sinful condition, and instilled within us a standard of living that pleases Almighty God. And discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, it fills the spiritual void created by sin with the heart-changing gospel, the good news that we are not lost after all. God truly loves us. Jesus really cares. So much so that He sacrificed Himself to atone, that means to pay for, our sins. His life, His death, His resurrection, all of this was personal. It was for you and me. It is in the name of Jesus that we have forgiveness. In the name of the Son of God that we have hope for an unspeakably better life to come. And this Jesus is the Word. Now we're going deep. Now I hope you can grasp all of this. And you need the help of the Spirit to do it. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the Word. The Logos. I'm quoting a verse from John chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word," that much is easy to get, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is embodied in the Bible. He is the essential substance of Scripture. As He is holy, the essence of perfection, so is the Word that we know as the Bible or God's Word. Jesus is incarnate in the Word. He's in it. He's part of it. He is it. Ask the Spirit to help you to hang on to that and grasp that one. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Logos. Logos is the Greek word for word. Because, I'll say it another way, because Jesus Christ was made manifest or incarnate in the scriptures, then the words before us today are holy and alive as Jesus is holy and alive today. And powerful and active. This is not a dead word at all. Not some old antique book. It's not only present tense, it goes all the way to the end. Quite alive. Again, the words before us. The Word of God is living and active. It has power. It can change your heart in the time that it takes to say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Use me as you will. This can be the difference between spiritual life and death. If sin lingers in your heart this morning, now is the time to let the power of God's love move your heart to repent of sin and begin to live and love like Jesus did. The power of God's forgiveness will bring peace and joy like nothing else this side of heaven can give you. Believe God's promises. Believe His word. And all the power of God will be brought to bear in your life. The Lord sees into your heart and mind. I think we all know that. Hope we do. Nothing is hidden from Him. Ezekiel said it, plain words. There is no secret that can be hidden from you, Lord. And following our text, if you have it open, look at the next verse. Before Him, all hearts are open and visible to Him, to whom we must render account. God is aware of the intent of our hearts. He knows what's in them. He knows whether or not our faith is genuine. He is able to know that the Spirit of the living Christ is truly Lord of our lives, and that, or that we are Christian in name only. That's called a nominal Christian, and that's not a saved person. Our encouragement today is to let the power of the Word of God show forth in our daily lives. We need to fully grasp the truth that with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. Through faith and prayer, all the power of God is available to us individually. All the power of God, the same power that created this earth. We need to be able to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can. If only we believe. If only we ask. The impossible becomes possible only by divine power. And that power comes to us through the Word, through the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. It looks pretty much like any other book, doesn't it? In fact, I've had this one rebound. It's just a book. Paper, cardboard, ink. But unlike any other book, it is God speaking, calling sinful man to repentance, promising forgiveness and salvation, and showing us the way to love and peace. The words on its pages speak to every conceivable human condition and emotion. It exposes sin. It promises justice when evil befalls us. It directs us in providing human care, as we talked about in Bible study this morning. It consoles us when we lose a loved one. It upholds us when our personal lives are in crisis. This book is our source of wisdom, and it allows us to join with the angels in heaven in singing those anthems of praise, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. So we do well to ask ourselves, do I love God's Word? Do I cherish my Bible? This is the third or fourth one I've gone through in the last 38 years. I wear them out. I hope you're doing the same thing. Do I use it? Do I depend on it? Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. Do I realize that it has the power to search my heart? Oh boy. Reveal my sin and extend the offer of free forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Am I willing to share the truth about sin and grace with my family, with my friends, with my coworkers, with my fellow students, and my neighbors? And most importantly, do I believe every word and live and sacrifice like Jesus? The power to do these things is in the Word itself. All the power of Almighty God is at our fingertips. God grant us all a love for the living and active Word, His Word, and the kind of faith that seizes on every word, knowing that our Heavenly Father wants only the best for His dear children. He really does. And hopefully we can all testify with St. Paul, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.